How do you advertise in a world where the product you're selling is stuck on a cargo ship somewhere? I'm David Brancaccio. The stock market is closed for Good Friday here, and if it's a fresh bond price you're after, well, adapt, wait till Monday. But it is time to take the economic pulse today from a key figure in the world of advertising. Our subject today is our current back-ordered inflationary economy. Let's welcome Janine Poggi, editor of Ad Age. Hi there.
Hi, David. How are you?
You know, we pour it like ketchup on almost everything we say these days, the supply chain and its problems. But what that really means, supply chain, is companies may not have the stuff to sell that they would like to sell when they want to sell it. And it hadn't occurred to me, if you're advertising, this is an issue.
Yeah, look, I mean, during the holidays in particular, you really saw brands struggle with this. So, you know, really one of the major things that the ad world has sort of been thinking about and grappling with is the messaging that they're putting out there, you know, messaging around specific products versus brand messaging, which is always the shift and the balance that brands are looking to do. And right now, you know, you really see brands lean more into the general, like, here's what our brand is about versus like, here's a specific product, especially if there are issues in the auto sector in particular around specific parts and things like that.
The other thing that we're all dealing with, but also if you're trying to sell stuff, is inflation and having to kind of explain yourself if it's going to cost more.
And that's an interesting one. You know, first off, right now, it seems that consumers are demonstrating a tolerance for higher prices. I think the big thing is being transparent and brands looking at communicating those price increases. But then when you come to like the actual advertising and marketing around products, despite inflation, despite supply chain issues, the overarching opinion is that brands should continue to advertise because the last thing a Coca-Cola wants is to pull back its advertising spend and then persuade customers to potentially trade down to lower price competitors.
And then some clever devils that you keep an eye on use inflation to their advantage. They're like, during these high price times, why not buy our cheap thing?
Yeah, you know, there's an opportunity to really come in and I think also present a value proposition. So maybe it's not about the price in general, but saying why your product offers more, why there is more value in the price that you are paying. I think that's probably the other way that brands are really approaching this, thinking of the mix of price increases around with strategies of saying, like, how do we increase the value for the consumer?
Janine Poggi is the editor at Ad Age. Always good to talk to you.
Same here. Thank you.
The Marketplace Morning Report, Economic Pulse, regular checkups from a range of perspectives. President Biden today announced his nomination for a very powerful position that affects our lives but doesn't get wide attention. Biden will nominate Michael Barr as the Federal Reserve's next vice chair for supervision. Bankers just perked up their ears. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer is here now with some details.
Well, Michael Barr is currently dean of the University of Michigan's Public Policy School. He's worked as an advisor to fintech and cryptocurrency firms, but he also served in the Treasury Department in the Clinton and Obama administrations. The White House calls him a key architect of the Dodd-Frank financial reform law. Now, Biden first nominated Sarah Bloom Raskin as the Fed's vice chair for supervision, but she withdrew her nomination after West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin said he wouldn't support her. Of course, David, this is a job that requires Senate confirmation.
Yeah, and what's the portfolio for vice chair for supervision?
This person is basically the Fed's top banking cop, overseeing the biggest banks in the country and making sure they're financially sound by giving them regular stress tests, checking how exposed they are to risk, and ensuring they have enough of a financial cushion.
I'm seeing a pretty long line of nominees waiting for Senate confirmation now. Where do things stand for them?
Yeah, even Jerome Powell is waiting for the Senate to confirm him for a second term as Fed chair. And Fed Governor Leo Brainard still needs a vote. She was nominated as Fed vice chair. The Senate also needs to vote on two nominees for empty Fed governor positions. There are reports the Senate could vote on these nominees later this month. The first step for Michael Barr is a hearing before the Senate Banking Committee.
Nancy Marshall-Genzer in Washington. Now, as early as next week, a committee in the lower house of California's legislature will decide whether to move forward on a proposal to bring the 4-day work week to that huge state. It would apply to employers with 500 or more people, 32 hours a week instead of, what are you actually working, 50, 60? We've reported on studies in the past showing that with appropriate management and the right workplace culture, people can get the same or more done in 4 days instead of five. California's Chamber of Commerce is very concerned this would reduce employment. Senior executives from some major Chinese companies are warning that the Shanghai COVID lockdown is hitting that economy very hard. Firms are having trouble keeping essential components from this huge manufacturing hub flowing. Here's Stephen McDonnell, China correspondent for our newsroom partner, the BBC.
Parts of China's manufacturing sector might soon have to close, at least temporarily, because companies can't get essential components from locked down Shanghai. The president of electrical vehicle manufacturer Xiaopeng has warned of considerable disruption. He Xiaopeng said, if work doesn't start again in Shanghai during May, potentially all automobile factories across the country might have to stop operating. Yu Chengdong, customer services chief executive at tech giant Huawei, also warned that all tech-based industrial companies linked to Shanghai's supply chain could stop production if work doesn't resume in the lockdown city next month.
Steve McDonnell, BBC there. And online gamers who lost cryptocurrency after playing Axie Infinity now have more information on where their money went. The FBI is saying North Korean hackers affiliated with the government there stole $600 million worth of the digital currency Ethereum. The U.S. Treasury Department has now hit the hacking group with sanctions. The North Korean government raises a lot of cash through hacking. I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.